first of all, Eric, I'd be remiss without saying thanks to Indiana Pork and National Pork Producers Council, MPPC, for setting up the opportunity to go out there. It's just, it's a great exercise when you can get in front of lawmakers and represent the industry to the extent that the pork industry is able to for these events, typically at least twice a year. This was the Spring Legislative Action Conference. All told, we had over 100 pork producers that were in town and visiting with legislators up on the Hill. You know, Washington, D.C. is always a busy place, but I'm confident that we made our presence felt and the industry's presence and priorities and issues were felt and raised to the correct people. So it's just a great opportunity. And here locally, we were our Indiana pork contingent was able to meet with both senators and 8 of 9 representatives in the House. So again, just a great opportunity to get in front of those folks.
That's a pretty busy few days there, Todd, getting in front of everyone there.
It was. It's a lot of action crammed into just a couple days, but you know, all told, it's worth it. I think just to be able to again raise those issues that are important to pork producers across the country, and then also drill down into, you know, local and issues that are important here in the state of Indiana. So my legs may be a little sore from walking all over D.C., but hey, that's a small price to pay.
So I would imagine, Todd, that you know, again, Prop 12 had to have been atop the list for pork producers to get out there and chat with legislators about. There's been a lot of talk about what happened in California with Prop 12 and the changes that need to be made from the producer's standpoint to be Prop 12 compliant. And some producers opting to do it, some not. But really what it comes down to is this is an interstate commerce issue, and we need Congress to act. What were those conversations like?
Certainly, that was definitely a topic of conversation, Prop 12 out of California. I will give our legislators credit. For the most part, they were pretty familiar with what was happening and some of the issues as presented by Prop 12 to the industry and Indiana pork producers at large. You know, our conversations were, certainly there are some producers out there in Indiana and across the country that have chosen to follow the Prop 12 production standards, which is perfectly fine. And that's their choice to do so. And that's the message. It should be pork producers' choice to meet a consumer demand if it is out there and pork producers can get paid for raising those pigs accordingly. What we want to try and avoid is having those production standards regulated us. We want to maintain our freedom to operate. And certainly with the Prop 12, it's a little bit unique coming from a state. You could easily snowball that issue into 50 states coming out with 50 different production practices and then making it nearly impossible to keep track of that on the farm and ultimately raising prices for a consumer, not only in the state of California, which we've seen to a certain extent with Prop 12, but, you know, across the nation. So legislators were by and large supportive of trying to find a solution with that, whether it's in the farm bill coming up or a standalone solution. You know, we've seen the EATS Act already out there, which sounds like it may be revised a little bit or some portions of that pulled and put into something new and different. But it sounds like there is interest in working towards that. Like I said, likely to have something included in the farm bill, but it also could be standalone. But a lot of support with Congress acting on that going forward.
Well, Todd, that was my next question. There has been some talk recently about getting a fix for Prop 12 in the farm bill. We might see a farm bill markup next month. Does it get done this year? Who knows? And we don't need to get into all of that at this moment. But from conversations you had, I you know, in particular with those on the Ag Committee with Senator Braun and Congressman Baird, did they talk about the likelihood of getting that legislation as part of the farm bill, what the likelihood of that might be?
Well, the good news was And I did see an article on your website, Eric, that that we heard in D.C. as well, that they're expecting at least a farm bill markup by Memorial Day. And so that's kind of the hope going forward. Again, it does sound like there will be some kind of language put forth within the farm bill that would address some of the issues on the Prop 12 front. But that's not the only thing we wanted to talk to them about. You know, farm bills is important, not only with the Prop 12 issue, but many issues for agriculture and pork producers. We had a lot of discussion on foreign animal disease prevention and preparedness. You know, there's very important programs that need to be addressed by a farm bill in that regard. The National Animal Health Lab Network, veterinary stockpile, vaccine bank, the animal disease preparation and response program, just to name a few. And of course, you know, we want to keep a focus on the Beagle Brigade, which has done a great job protecting our borders, making sure, you know, no foreign pork products are entering illegally into the United States. And there's also some momentum to create a training center for those Beagle Brigade that program there. So those were a couple issues along foreign animal disease on the farm bill. And again, you know, that seems to be top of mind with our legislators. They know we're coming in there from the pork industry and ag industry, and they are very interested in getting something done. Again, like I said before, Memorial Day, at least get a markup out there.
You brought up, you know, foreign animal diseases and things, and I know that, you know, here at Hoosier Ag Today, it's been a little while since we've run a story about African swine fever, but for pork producers, that doesn't necessarily mean it went completely to the back burner. I imagine that was some of the discussion had about foreign animal diseases, the Beagle Brigade, all of these different things. African swine fever is still a hot topic for you guys, right?
No doubt about it. We don't want to let that issue die. Of course, when it comes to African swine fever, you know, for us, no news is good news, of course. But that doesn't mean the threat is not still out there. And so we definitely keep that top of mind with our lawmakers. And, you know, that just wraps up right into the trade discussion as well. Trade is such an important part of the pork industry. Nationally, we're exporting somewhere between 25% and 30% of our product, and that brings a lot of dollars and value to the industry. And so we talk about the importance of trade with members of Congress, emphasize market access to those international markets. In fact, this year, it's called the AGOA Act, the African Growth Opportunity Act is up for review. And that was one of our talking points because South Africa, as part of that AGOA Act, has not really lived up to some market access for pork. And so we really pushed for that and raised that issue with lawmakers. In fact, there was a letter to U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai that we asked our representatives to sign on to, pushing South Africa to live up to those market access opportunities for pork. And so, it all kind of wraps up into that foreign animal disease trade discussion. It's great to keep that top of mind and have that opportunity to be in front of our legislators.
So we've touched on Prop 12, Farm Bill, foreign animal disease, trade. Anything else, Todd, that really needed to be brought to the attention of the Indiana lawmakers? Again, you met with all but one of the Indiana congressional delegation. Anything else discussed?
Yeah, certainly, Erica. You know, another big talking point and sticking point for the pork industry has been the labor issue, just being able to fully staff our farms and have tools in the toolbox to be able to do that. In recent years, much of the swine industry has utilized visa programs just because local labor is difficult to find. You know, we're in rural locations, the labor pool. Indiana already has low employment rates, and that's probably just exacerbated in the rural areas. So much of the industry uses programs like the TN visa program, as well as looking for opportunities to use the H-2A visa program. We've had issues lately, Eric, with the TN visa program. Kind of late last year, we were seeing a rash of denials for applicants into the TN visa program, which we hadn't seen previously. And so that was really a point of emphasis. In fact, that was another letter that we asked circulating around the House that we asked representatives to sign on to and just work with the State Department on some clarity around what is happening with those TN visa denials. And in fact, another thing too, Eric, the pork industry was able to send a delegation and meet while we were out there with the State Department to talk about this issue. And we did have a group or a representative from our Indiana delegation participate in that meeting. And so, you know, what a great opportunity to get in front of the State Department and talk about this issue directly with them to try and find a solution and get some clarity moving forward. So again, thanks to MPPC for being able to set that meeting up. And from my understanding, it was a productive discussion, and we look forward to solutions going forward.